Welcome to Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with my dad, best-selling author and psychologist Dr. James Dobson, along with Lou Ann Crane.
And Dr. Dobson, you have brought a surprise guest here to the studio today. He's definitely a familiar face, but we're kind of switching things up a bit.
Well, Lou Ann and Ryan, what I love about radio, I mean, there are many things I love about it, but one of them is the spontaneity of it. And I have walked into this studio with a longtime friend. You guys were already in here recording something. I have no idea what. And the friend is Kurt Bruner, who was a vice president, senior vice president at Focus on the Family, came there in 1985 and stayed till 2005. And we worked together in a million contexts through those years. And he came to visit me today. And what we were talking about really sounded interesting to me. And I asked if he'd like to come do a program. So here he is.
Welcome.
And world, here we come.
Now, what I hate about radio is that Dr. Dobson can just stick a microphone in front of you and say, all right, we're having a conversation for a million listeners, so
this
let's go for it.
Nothing to do with the spontaneity of radio. It's the spontaneity of you, Dr. That's all of it.
And what I love is he said we worked together all those years. But as I recall, I worked for you, sir, and had a blast doing it.
So you were on what we call the cabinet for all those years, and nothing happened in the ministry during that time that you and I were not talking together about. So it's a pleasure to see you again.
Well,
you look great.
Well, thanks.
And I want to catch up with you on what you're doing because it really ought to be heard by many people. And I've only heard it once, and so you're going to have to describe it for me and for Ryan and Luann who haven't heard it at all. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to 2005 you left. And you had a passion and a dream and a mission. What was that mission?
Well, I went on a 3-day silent spiritual retreat. Now, for the listeners who don't know what a 3-day silent spiritual retreat, it's very different than a 3-day potluck retreat that you have with a bunch of people and you're chatting the whole time. This is pure silence for 3 days in prayer and spending time with the Lord, seeking his direction because I knew he was calling me to something but didn't know what that was. And so spent that time specifically with the Lord and came out of it with a real sense of call, as clear as you can be on those things, but a real sense of call that the problem that we're facing is that we're losing the next generation. Mm-hmm. And at this time, many people were putting out reports, you know, a percentage of the children that are being raised in the church that are walking away from Christianity and so forth, and had a great burden for that. As you'll recall, more than a decade ago now, we started something called Heritage Builders, and we did the Family Night Tool Chest, and all these tools to help families be more intentional about instilling faith in their children.
But and those products are still out there.
They're still out there, and heritagebuilders.com still exists where you can get those tools. But what we realized, and what I realized at this silent retreat, is that we can provide tools to individual families, but it's the local church that creates the culture of families and whether or not families are going to be intentional on an ongoing basis in a way that reinforces that. And there are religious traditions and some non-Christian religious traditions that are very, very good at keeping their own children in their faith tradition. But we're finding that those of us in the Christian world, and particularly the evangelical Christian world, are losing our own children at an alarming rate. And I believe and continue to believe that the problem is not what is or isn't happening at the local church, in the youth ministry, in the student ministry, the children's ministry. In fact, some of the greatest creativity in the history of the church is going on today when it comes to children's and student ministry. The problem is not what is or isn't happening at the church. The problem is what desperately needs to happen in the home. And all of the research bears this out, that those children who tend to embrace and stay faithful in their parents' beliefs, it's because the home was doing the job that only the home can do.
That's right.
And so we have I'm part of a pastoral staff at one of these churches that, you know, mega church and multi-campuses, Lake Point Church. It's a great church doing great things.
In Texas.
In Texas, just outside Dallas. Still trying to learn the language, and I think I'm doing okay, but had never lived in the South before. But it's been exciting because Lake Point has great ministries across the age spectrum. In fact, just to give a little taste, we walk into the building, and it's the main campus has a very large building, and the upper level has all these children's classrooms, and they do some great programs, and our family volunteers in that. But there's this slide, this looping slide that comes from the upstairs to the downstairs, so that when it's time to pick up the kids, they're going on this cool slide down
like
to the lower
playground
level.
Slide.
Like a playground slide.
Oh, all right.
And so this is a church that's been very, very intentional about creating a welcoming and a warm environment for families and for all the ages. But what was interesting is back in 2006, when I began talking to Lake Point Church about this vision, is that they recognized they had 13 values as a church that started at the founding of the church nearly 30 years ago. And of those 13 values, one of them said God designed the family as the primary context for spiritual formation mm-hmm. and for discipleship. Well, the leadership team had just graded themselves on their 13 values, and that one ranked dead last. Mm. We believe it, but we're not doing this one well. We're not creating a culture where families are being more intentional and that the faith is being transferred in the context of the home.
Kurt, already, though, we have people listening who are a little scared going, wait a minute, it's all I can do to stay on top of everything I have to do as a mom or a dad, my job responsibilities. And what I hear you saying now is I've gone to the local church to ask them to help me with this, but now you're saying all of that spiritual formation is going to get transferred into my lap, too. That scares me to death.
You're exactly right, and that's the concern. But that's actually not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is what we already know as parents. We care more than anyone else on the planet about the faith formation of mm-hmm. our own children. Mm-hmm. We also know that we and many parents have gotten into a process of outsourcing that role of faith formation to the church, to the local church. Well, the local church is beginning to wake up and realize, wait a minute, we didn't intend for you to outsource this to us. This can't be done at church. Now, what we can do at church, what we're doing our best to do at church, is provide a great experience for that 1 to 2 hours that they're here, to become kind of a catalyst for the faith formation of your children. But God designed the home as the primary context of faith formation. And that's true of marriage as well as parent-child relationship. You know, I may feel close to Jesus when I'm sitting in a worship service, and I may be learning about Jesus when I'm hearing a sermon, but I'm being Jesus when I bite my tongue in the middle of an argument with my wife. All right, and so that's what we mean by faith formation. There's things that happen in the flesh and blood relationships that occur in the home that cannot happen anywhere else. And so we have the church with its role of teaching and proclaiming the truth, but we have the home with the role of incarnationally living out that truth and making my child want what it is the church says we believe. And that's where I believe it's breaking down. In fact, all of the research is saying that's where it's breaking down. Mm-hmm. And so back to the story of how
I can put that in my own words, you attribute what you just said to the fact that we are losing kids, that they're not staying with the faith.
Yeah, I would call that the indicator, yes.
Yeah.
We know that roughly 50% of the kids being raised in churches today, when they reach adulthood, are essentially rejecting Christianity. Mm-hmm. In fact, David Kinnaman did a book called Unchristian that you may have read a few years ago, came out. And I interviewed David for a meeting that we were having about his book. And it was a fascinating book because it went through and asked a lot of questions of the younger generation, saying, what are your perceptions of Christianity? And so they almost did kind of like a brand market study, like mm-hmm. you would say, do you like Coke or Pepsi? They kind of used that same methodology and say, what do you think about Christianity, Christian? What mm-hmm. are your perceptions? And their findings were fascinating because as I was reading them, you might expect much of what you saw. Well, Christians are judgmental or homophobic, you know, some of the things you may hear the young say. But what I found fascinating as I was reading the results of these surveys was how much these people who are self-proclaimed non-Christians know about Christianity. You know, kind of like Dr. Dobson, you saying, mm-hmm. Kurt, what bugs me about you is you leave your socks on the bathroom floor. Mm-hmm. Well, you only know that if you've been inside my house, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the research knew too much about Christianity to truly be outsiders to Christianity. Mm-hmm. So I asked David about that. I said, it reminds me of what G.K. Chesterton said the turn of the last century. In his book, Everlasting Man, he said the best person to critique Christianity is someone who totally loves it or who knows nothing about it. But most people who critique it are kind of like hecklers who have an axe to grind. They're close enough to it to have an attitude about it. Mm. Well, their findings were similar. And in fact, at one point in the book, they say that the vast majority of outsiders, which is what they call self-proclaimed unbelievers in this country, particularly among the young, the vast majority of them are actually de-churched people. What does that tell us? These are the kids who grew up going to church.
What a sad commentary. The kids, we had them and we lost
that's
them.
That's right. The kids growing up going to church. Great churches, by the way. The best church programs in the history of mm-hmm. the church, arguably. are walking away from the faith. And what I found when I got into the world of the church leadership, and I'm a pastor now with Lake Point Church, is the dialogue was interesting. The dialogue was self-condemning by youth directors and by children's pastors saying, well, we're not doing a good job. And I said, wait a minute. You're doing a great job. You remember Oliver, the musical?
Yes.
You remember the opening scene? They're coming out with their bowl to get their meal. Well, these disheveled, barefoot, dirty, obviously unloved and unkept boys come out with their bowl for one serving of gruel per day. And it's all they get. And it's a very harsh environment. And when they're singing Food, Glorious Food, it's because they're dreaming of having a decent meal, which they never get. Well, go back and watch that movie in the opening sequence. They're dancing and singing Food, Glorious Food. And as the camera moves past the room where those who run the orphanage are having their meal, they're gorging themselves on a huge feast while the boys are half starving in the next room. What's even more fascinating is look what's printed on the wall, a stone wall behind the boys as they're singing. Three words, God is love. And I ask leaders this question. Are those three words true? God is love. Absolutely. It's directly out of the scripture. Is their experience in their, quote, home telling them it's true?
Mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Which are they going to believe?
That's right.
So we, the local church, are doing far more than stenciling God is love on a black and white stone wall to communicate the word of God. We have drama and puppets and cool youth buildings and avant-garde youth directors, you know, the whole thing. And yet they're walking away from the faith. Why is it? I believe it's because what's happening in the home, where that incarnational expression and living out of the gospel needs to happen, is broken. And so what we did is began at that point working both with Lake Point Church and then a network of churches to say, what if we, church, could start to create a culture of intentional families so that the families are more likely to do what it is that only can happen at home? And that's the strategic question that's been driving our efforts for these last few years.
Well, kids are at home and they see priorities. We had Ken Eldred on the program here talking about those. And we do get busy. There are a million things that I need to do. And yet there are things I could cut out if I think passing on my value system, my faith to my family is the most important thing. If it's not the most important thing, then I'll fill my time with other things.
Right.
It makes me feel guilty, and it makes me look at my life under a microscope, but it's what's necessary in order to pass that on to, right now, my son Lincoln, hopefully more kids in the future. The other thing about the people from unchurched is how bitter they are. They were in the church, they heard a message, they didn't see it at home, and they grow up to be angry. And you see this all the time. There's so many websites that are mocking Christianity. You know, oh, this is what Christians do, this is what Christians say, and they're totally different. But it's this underlying cutting. It's not really funny.
Well, it's the heckler, right?
It is.
They're just heckling. Mm-hmm. They're not really wanting to know about Christianity.
I think it's the inconsistency.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to have kids that grow up to love the church, then strengthen their marriage, strengthen their relationship. You know, all of those things, when kids are at home and the parents talk about each other negatively and they don't treat each other well and they have different priorities and different lives and there's this contradiction of the Bible says we're supposed to love each other and we're supposed to honor and respect and love and respect our spouses and we're not doing that at home and it's this huge chasm between the two where it's a dual life. You grow up angry.
Yeah.
It's like you talk a great game. You go to church on Sunday. Yeah, absolutely. And then you go home and you put me down and you don't spend time with me and you fill your life with other things and you don't do any of the things you talk about. And it's so hypocritical. I grow up angry too.
Yeah.
Well, Kurt, it's obvious that the Lord was and is talking to you about making some changes in the home. But what can the church do to affect that?
Yeah, and that's what excites me and what we've been so passionate about. And that is the church does have a role to play in this. The church is not to blame. And I think we need to move past that. The church is not to blame for the problem. But the church can become catalytic to creating a culture of intentionality in the home. Luann, you mentioned, you know, we as parents, we feel overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, part of what's overwhelming is even in our churches, we don't feel like we're part of a culture of intentional families. In fact, if you're an intentional family, you're watching your kids' media intake, you're being intentional about faith conversations over mealtime or whatever it is, you're kind of an oddball scenario compared to the norm, right? Mm. Even in our churches, we feel we just get caught up in the culture the way it is, and all of our kids have texting, and they're texting during dinner. You know, all those things are just coming at us. Well, what if the church was to step up and say, we, the church leaders, are going to begin to call you to be intentional at home. We're going to do two things. We're going to make it easy for you to be intentional, and we're going to make it more likely. And so what we've done at Lake Point Church and what other churches are beginning to adopt are things like campaigns. We do every 120 days, we call the members of our church to take an appraisal. In fact, I brought a copy of it here, a little assessment. And it says 120 days of intentionality. And what we do is we ask you to take a little self-quiz. How intentional have you been the last 120 days in a couple of categories? Number one, your marriage. Are you nurturing intimacy? And we give them five or six ideas of what does that mean? Are you having a date night at least twice a month? Okay, ouch, you just stepped on my toes because first time I filled this out after having written the survey, I had to call Olivia and say, you know what, I think we need to schedule a date night because I'm behind. but very concrete, practical things that is important for fostering that in the home.
A little more accountability.
That's right. So the church is saying to you, assess yourself, it's anonymous, but would you please turn in that assessment so we as the leadership now know how we're doing. Where are we weak? Where are we strong? Second category after marriage is faith in the home. Are you having any kind of faith dialogue with your children? We know that less than 10%, and get this, less than 10% of families who go to church regularly have any kind of faith dialogue at all in the home other than an occasional mealtime prayer.
Hmm.
All right. And you think about the battle we're up against and the influences in our children's lives. We're not even having the bare minimum basic conversations. So we have questions about that. Are you connecting with your child relationally on a daily basis? Did you have any kind of faith conversation trigger at least once a week in the last so? Are you praying together, you know, a couple times a week? And we'll let you count mealtime, things of this nature.
So, Kurt, just to be clear, you're not necessarily saying for an hour every night, Dad needs to sit all of the children down and have devotions. You're talking about the Deuteronomy 6 passage, where it just talks about incorporating it into your everyday life.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you'll hear a lot of people talk about teaching the scripture to your children. And I really hope and would love for us to be able to do that more. But I'm actually more interested that you're even having the meals together with your kids because that's not even happening anymore. Let's start with the very basic stuff. So we ask our congregation to assess themselves and grade themselves. How are you doing? Turn it into us, and then we'll know where we need to help you and then provide them tools and resources. Give you a case in point, an example. We asked in our very first appraisal, this is now 2 years ago, we asked the congregation, they turned it in. What we found out is that the least likely thing happening was prayer in the home. Couples weren't praying together. They weren't praying with their kids together. Now, we all believe in prayer, right? We're all for prayer, but it's not actually happening in our homes. So we created the Prayer at Home campaign. So the next cycle of 120 days, we came to the congregation and said, all right, here's what we're going to ask you to do for the next 120 days. We want to ask you to start the 7-5-2 routine. What is that? 7 days a week, we want you to pray for your family. Everybody can do that. 5 days a week, we want you to pray with your kids, and we'll let you count mealtime, in part because we just want you to have meals together. And 2 days a week, and this is going to be the hardest, we want you to pray with your spouse after sharing intimate prayer requests. Now, why? Because we know statistically, couples who pray together move from about a 50% divorce rate down to less than 1 in 100. There's nothing,
really?
There's no sermon in the world I can preach that's going to have that kind of an impact if I can just get the couples to pray together a couple of times a week. Now, we're a church that draws a lot of what you'd call unchurched, or they call them seekers, or use a lot of phrases, people who've never in their lives prayed out loud in front of anybody. So this scares them to death. So the church gives them the tools, say, okay, here's a prayer at home guide. And here's some language you can use if you've never prayed out loud before, or if you're really nervous, hold hands with your spouse, pray quietly, and then squeeze each other's hands when you're done, and count it as one, and you've had a win. So it's really the idea of things like this that help the church say to the congregation, being intentional at home is what it means to be part of this faith community.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you tools to make it easy, and we're going to call you to specific disciplines or what we call holy habits on a regular basis. What we're finding among church leaders is they're getting pretty excited about this strategy because it doesn't mean retooling my whole children's program or my whole youth program. It means using what we're already doing and making it more likely and making it easy.
Well, and you're giving them consistency between what they're doing on Sunday and their regular life.
Yeah.
You know, it's I believe in this and we're doing it at home. And that makes a huge, huge difference.
And it's also an honest assessment, Ryan. I'm sitting there thinking most of us in the pew on Sunday morning are looking around and assuming that everybody else is praying together. Everyone else is doing this except us. So you're kind of shining a light on reality and saying it's okay. Mm-hmm. We can all come together and do it.
Yeah, let's be authentic about this. In fact, we created a video and audio that we gave to the members of our congregation on this very point. We recognize, listen, we all think everybody else is praying in the home, but they're not. So I just interviewed people at the church and said, tell me, why is this hard? And maybe we get the answer, well, maybe we had a fight this day and I don't want to pray with my spouse. I mean, honest, authentic stuff comes out. Or a wife who says, well, I think he's supposed to be the spiritual leader and he's not doing
alone.
It. Yeah. And then everybody goes, oh, good, they're having the same problem
I'm having.
That's
exactly right.
Now, the program that the Lord inspired you to start is primarily with churches to help them help families.
That's right.
Right.
Our problem is we're not creating a culture at the local church level that makes it more likely people will use tools to be intentional at home. So just like the Family Talk broadcast inspires and encourages and introduces people to practical tools, we want to see local churches doing that all over the country.
You know, it's my impression that most evangelical churches want to do what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
They want to help families stay together and to win their children for Christ. But their emphasis may be on the church instead of on the family. Is that what you're saying?
Well, exactly. In fact, at Lake Point, that's what we found. We're offering many great programs for the hour to two that they're at church. But are we equipping them for when they're in the home?
Right.
And how can we make that more likely?
Mm-hmm.
I had one of the leaders. We had a network of about 15 church leaders from across the country, various sizes, various traditions. And we were brainstorming over a two-year process on this. And one of them said, you know, what's interesting is I can go right now to my church budget and I can show you the line item for where we're investing in tools for while they're at the church, curriculum and so forth. I don't have a line item for where we're helping give families tools for how to be intentional at home. And so we said, well, we've got to make that easier for churches so that they could, a very inexpensive way, start to create a culture, start to provide ideas and tools to make this more likely.
Well, it takes a weight off of people's shoulders, because I was with Sean McDowell not long ago, Josh McDowell's son, and we get the question all the time, how did your family do it? How did your dads do it? And I didn't have a great answer, and then Josh started studying it and came up with exactly what you're talking about, how much time our families are spending together in sharing, in educating, and saying that you're a priority and letting us know that. Both Sean and I had that in our homes, and now I can go back and say, not only that, your church can start doing this congregation-wide with a program like this.
I think one of the best things we did as a family in the direction that Kurt's talking about is that we skied together all day. We would go to Mammoth, California. We had a wonderful time. And at night, all the adults and the kids would gather together in front of a fireplace.
That's right.
And we would talk about the scripture and take it anywhere it went. And it was not boring. It was really interesting and sometimes lasted for an hour or two. I don't know that that, you know, appealed to you, but it was an effort to do what Kurt's talking about.
That's right. And you've also always done that on the hunting trips that we've gone on. I was at the Safari Club International hunting show not long ago, and I missed my son so much. And Laura said, you know, why on this trip more than others? And I said, it's because the times that my dad and I have spent in the field and then back in the tent or a lodge together having that relationship, I know I get to have that with Lincoln someday. And it just made me just crave being home with him, because it's how I was raised.
Kurt, we're running out of time. How can people find out more about this program?
Well, if you're a church leader or just a layperson who would like to see your church start to learn how to become intentional about creating this culture, go to drivefaithhome.com. You can also learn there a little more about and actually read some excerpts from that book, It Starts at Home, that you can download for free and just start to learn more there.
Well, it's great to catch up with you, Kurt. Kurt Bruners, whom we're talking to, and God's obviously using you, and you stay in touch with us in this regard. I think there are going to be a lot of people out there who'd like to know more. And Luann, you can help us with that.
I sure will. We'll provide that information on our website.
Give our regards to Olivia.
We'll do. It's been fun to see you again.
Thank you for dropping in on us today.
Bye-bye.
Well, Ryan, we've heard some great ideas today for parents like me who want to make sure their kids are deepening their own faith.
Well, Luann, it's something that they will carry with them into adulthood. And, You know, I'm thinking of some of the things Kurt mentioned on how I can be more purposeful in my own family, and I'm grateful for the reminder that as good as the church is, mm-hmm. it's ultimately my job as a parent to pass on my faith to my family. And I know there are many people listening right now who are taking this to heart, and they're going to be looking for ideas to create this environment where they can easily share the gospel with their children.
Mm-hmm. If that is you, visit our website, myfamilytalk.com. As I mentioned, we are linking to the ministry Kurt described today. It's called Drive Faith Home. And there you can find tips for your own family, as well as learn about how your local church can implement some of these ideas. On that same website, of course, you'll find lots of information about spiritual training of your children, including past Family Talk broadcasts and some helpful resources by Dr. Dobson on raising godly children.
You can also call us at 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. We'd like to remind you that we are a listener-supported ministry, so any gift you can give will help us to continue to spread the truth of God's Word to the next generation. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you'll tune in next time for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.